Today's podcast is brought to you by El Guji Software, the makers of Idea Jam. Learn how you can purchase your very own copy of Idea Jam for your organization at elguji.com. That's ELGUJI.com.
It's time for the Taking Notes podcast with Julian Robichaud and Bruce Elgort.
Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 81 of the Taking Notes podcast for Sunday, April 6th, 2008. I'm your Twittering host, Bruce Elgort, here with...
Jolly Julian Robichaud.
Jolly Julian Robichaud. Julian, how have you been?
Yes. Oh, I've been good. It's actually a nice weekend. It turned out to be a nice day here in Georgia, so that means I've been sitting inside on my laptop all day.
All right. So who do we have behind curtain number one, Julian?
Behind curtain number one, we have Mikkel Heisterberg from Denmark. Mikkel, how are you doing?
I am very fine. Thank you very much. At least late evening.
Yeah, we're spanning multiple time zones here. It's almost 5 o'clock on Sunday for me here. Bruce, what time is it for you? A little after lunch?
I got to look at a clock. About 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock in the afternoon, so a little bit after lunch. And we were going to do this podcast all on Twitter itself, but we're not, okay?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Julian, what are we going to talk about with Mikkel today?
Let's start off by just talking about we'll go in reverse chronological order, perhaps. Mikkel, you just put out a sidebar plugin that integrates Lotus Notes 8 with Twitter. Why don't you talk about that?
Well, sure. I thought about it. Doing a sidebar plugin for Twitter a long time ago because I joined Twitter up running towards Lotusphere and simply got in the race for that one. And then moving on from to Lotusphere, I tried different plugins. I tried the Vista sidebar. I used Bitwitted in Notes using my widgets, but it really didn't suit me. So I thought about doing a sidebar plugin, and then I went skiing, and I heard your podcast with Adam Gartenberg, where he talked about how nice it would be to have a sidebar plugin for Twitter, and I thought, hell, if anyone is going to beat me to it, no. So once I got back, it was Easter, and I just hacked away on it, and then really didn't take that long. I think I had the first prototype ready within 12 or 14 hours, something like that. And then it's just been a roller coaster ride from there, I think.
Wow. Now, what was harder, figuring out the Twitter interface and the API or writing the actual plugin?
Well, I was actually quite I was happy to find someone has had already done an API in Java for Twitter. Some guy at Google, I think, did it. And just he did a Java wrap around the JSON interface, so I used that one, which would turn out to give me a lot of grief later on. But I used that, and then so most of my work, or all of my work, have been in doing the actual sidebar, plugging the UI, and trying to get my component to actually install in Notes 8, which I'm sad to say was probably the hardest part at the beginning, trying to figure out bundle dependencies and all kind of weird stuff that no one probably want to hear about. But
well, now, was this the first sidebar plugin you've developed?
I've done a few. I'm doing a commercial sidebar plugin for my employer as well. I'm working for a company called Intravision doing group calendaring. And we are developing a sidebar plugin for that. So many of the techniques that I've been doing here, I've ended up using custom painting and stuff like that. I've been doing there. So I've been doing a couple of plugins. So simply doing a plugin or sidebar plugin is not the big thing. I have done I've done multiple. I would say.
Okay, and once you figure out how to create one plugin, can you reuse a lot of that knowledge? Is it kind of the same technique for any other kind of plugin you want to do, or do you have to kind of start from scratch from each one?
Well, I would say that a sidebar plugin is basically nothing else than a single Java class and an XML file with 10 or 12 lines of some declarations. So doing a sidebar plugin as such is very easy. It's very, very easy. The hard part comes once you want to actually deploy it in Node. Once you want to deploy it in Node outside the Expediter toolkit, and once you want to figure out what you actually want to do and work around to some weird platform differences, stuff like that. But basically doing sidebar plugins is a simple class and some XML, and then that's it.
Okay. Well, now you're a Java guy, right? You've been programming in Java for, I don't know, like 80 years, something like that, right?
Yeah, 120, yeah.
120, that's, yeah, in hex, yeah. Right?
Being 31, I think that's very nice, yeah.
But, you know, since you're a Java programmer, it might have been a little bit easier for you to pick up on this. Having a Java background, was this something that took you a long time to figure out what you had to do for the sidebar bits and pieces? Were there good instructions? You know, what's the path if let's say that I'm a Java person and I want to develop a plugin, what do I need to learn, and where do I go to find this stuff out?
Great question.
Well, what you want to do is, considering you are a Java guy and you have the basic language syntax under your skin and you know about Java and inner classes and stuff like that, what you would want to do was maybe get a book on SWT development or JPhase development for Eclipse, and there are numerous books on that or on the web. But the SWT framework is the entire UI framework of Eclipse. So that's what you would probably want to do first. Then from there, it's understanding the plugin model of Node 8, and then it's almost SWT programming from so there on. So I think it would be master the language, get a copy of Eclipse, get a copy of the Expediter toolkit, learn a little SWT, and then get going. And then it's a very iterative process. The Expediter toolkit really makes it a lot easier to do this stuff. I can remember way back when Node 8 was just launched, and you had to install Eclipse and then get the Expediter toolkit or get the plugin separately and point your Eclipse toward Node. It was big hassle just to get anything running within Node 8 from your Eclipse workbench. But using the Expediter toolkit, it's really easy. So once you have the basics down, which wouldn't take more than 15 minutes, once you have the Expediter toolkit installed, it's really a matter of finding out what you want to do and then taking small steps, and the UI is by far the most difficult thing, I think. So,
examples, are there good examples on the IBM site, or did you use like Eclipse RCP examples, or where did you go to get a start?
There is the new composite application wiki on DeveloperWorks. There are a number of samples there. The problem with many of the samples that IBM do is probably that it's just they're not exhaustive enough. They're just, this is how you do a simple label, or this is how you do a simple this or simple that. There's really not one single place you can go and say, okay, this is my business case, I want to do this, so I'll take the following steps. That's sorely lacking. Besides that, I think once you have the plumbing in place, you would probably want to lean more against the Eclipse side of the web than the Node side of the web.
Mikkel, the QuitNotes application that you developed, you know, it's available for, you know, people to download, install, and use for free. Is it open source at this point, or will it ever be, or no?
At the moment, no, it's not open source. I was going to do that, but then I remembered that I wasn't self-employed anymore, so I couldn't just go ahead and do that. So we're trying to figure out how to best do it. I think Introvision has figured out that it's probably a good idea to do it, to simply... So I think we're going to do it, but it has to be run by the lawyers first, and we have to figure out which license and how to manage it. But I hope so. I really hope so. It will be made open source at one point, because I think it would make a good demo application of some of the stuff you can do, and a demo application of how you might want to go and do certain things. I really hope so. It will be made open source at one point.
Mm-hmm. Another question that I had, well, actually, not really a question, but would it be, I think it would be a good idea if you could step the listeners through who haven't, you know, used Twitter and or your sidebar, you know, application to explain, you know, what happens. You know, you obviously tweet and you can see other people's tweets and Twitter in your sidebar. Can you step through the various things that happen, you know, when you tweet, and, you know, how the view gets updated, you know, at a high level?
Sure. I think, first of all, you really have to understand the Twitter application as a whole. And the Twitter application, actually, it's quite a simple thing. It's a matter of you publishing your status, which is a 140 character length string. It simply tells what you're doing. I'm having lunch, I'm reading a presentation, whatever. Then you can subscribe to other people that you call followers. You have followers that subscribe to your status updates, and then you can subscribe to other people. Then follow. So what the Twitter application does is that it has a two-part UI. It has one section of the UI which lets you send tweets, as they're so called, onto the Twitter network. Then it has a table viewer below which picks up the statuses that the people you follow submit, and then it shows those statuses in the UI. So and then, of course, there are different ways of doing stuff. So in Twitter, you can have public messages, which is what you normally send. You can do so-called replies, where you can send messages which are public but destined to certain people. And then you can do something called direct messaging, which was added in TwitNotes 103, which allows you to send private messages to certain people. So, for example, when you contact me and we discuss having the podcast, you send that as a direct message, so-called, instead of simply blasting it over the internet to force all people to see. So that's the basic the Twitter application.
You know, I'm sorry, Mikkel. I was going to ask about the, you know, how you store the account information, and also, you know, I started out with TwitNotes, I guess 101, and then I easily upgraded to 103. So maybe we can talk about how all that stuff happens.
Sure. When I released TwitNotes, I just released the plugin from a so-called update site. And an update site is something that Eclipse uses to install and update information from or applications from. So when people install TweetNotes, they point their Notes client towards this update site and they install the application. And then they'll just pick up the latest version of the application that's actually there. So when I release a new version, what you simply do is you go in and you say search for new updates. And then the Expeditor framework will handle all the, okay, you have version 1.02 and the new one is 1.03, and it will pick up the latest version, install it for you, and simply ask you to restart Notes, and that's all you know of it. So it's nothing like installing desktop applications. It's much easier. And that's one of the things that it wasn't really one of the things that I set out to demonstrate, but it's been surprisingly easy to distribute this plugin. And I would say within the first 24 hours, I got a much greater response than I think I would have had if it was something you had to download and double click to install. It's just using the update site functionality of Notes 8 just makes it very easy to deploy and distribute applications to people you don't even know. And that was quite a learning experience.
Well, I was going to say, with a Lotus Notes sidebar app, how often does it pull for updates?
It doesn't.
It doesn't. Okay.
Notes 8 has, for it to automatically pick up a new version, you would have to use, I'm not that much of an admin guy anymore, but I think for the Notes 8 client to pick it up automatically, you would have to have the TweetNotes update site be the quote-unquote master update site of the Notes 8 client that you set using desktop policies. So in order for it to pick up a new version, you need to go into File, Application, Install, and then search for updates to existing features you have installed.
Okay, because I know, having dealt with some plugins on composite applications before, which I think are a little bit different, sometimes those will check for an update more often than you would think.
So. Well, the distribution mechanism is exactly the same. There isn't really any difference between a SWT component written to be used in a composite application, and TweetNotes can actually be used in a composite application as well. But I think what you might have seen has been, if you enter a composite application where you didn't have the features necessary to render the composite application, it would go out and automatically pick up the components it needed and then install those, have you restart your Notes, and then the composite application would show. So that might have been what you've been experiencing.
Yeah, what I've actually noticed is that if I have a composite application that uses a kind of a non-native Notes plugin, and I've tested out like the ones that are in the OpenNTF, in that 21 applications or whatever that IBM put out, that if I'm using one of those plugins, so it's a third-party plugin in a composite application, that the application actually opens a lot faster if I open it locally. Then if I'm disconnected from the network, I guess, in Notes, then if I'm actually, if my status is set to online, the difference in how fast it opens is extremely noticeable.
Well, the only thing I can imagine from the top of my head would be that it would somehow go out and check whether there is a new version available. And in each component you deploy to Notes, you can actually specify the URL it should go out and query to see if there is a new version. So say if IBM or the guys at IBM who did the plugins put in some bogus address that would just time out, that might be why.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, on mine I've got, because I know the attribute that you're talking about where you can set the NRPC address. And then I think I have it set to just the replica ID of the NSF of the update site. And it's just strange. And I always assumed it was because it was trying to update itself, but I don't know. Now, actually, kind of on a related note, you mentioned that it could be used either as a sidebar app or as in a composite application. Now, you also said early on that you thought about this when you were listening to Adam Gartenberg talking about Same Time, and which, of course, means that me and Bruce are going to take credit for the idea for this because you were listening to the podcast
Cha-ching.
When you thought about this. No, but...
$50 running, yeah.
Just...
But how hard do you think it would be to take this and turn it into a Same Time plugin versus a Notes 8 plugin? Or do you know?
Well, I've tried. I've been IMing with Adam Gartenberg a little bit about this and Carl Tyler as well, actually, because I tried to deploy it to Same Time, but there is some nasty stack trace I keep getting that simply won't let it deploy within Same Time, and I haven't really figured out why. There were some other pressing matters that I wanted to get ready for the application before pursuing that further, but basically I don't use any APIs that shouldn't be available within the Same Time client. So it should deploy, it doesn't, and why is a great mystery. Besides a very nasty stack trace that I don't know whether Adam went ahead and did something with it, but I don't know why.
Well, we'll have him on the podcast next, and we'll ask him.
Yeah, then we can have a Q&A, yeah.
We'll have you both on, and then it could be a big slugfest.
You know, guys, Mikkel, you know, you've obviously, you know, done a lot of work, you know, with the developing, you know, TwitNotes and stuff like that. What would you want to see IBM do better to help more people like Julian, you, me, and everyone else out there be able to develop these types of, you know, sidebar plugins more easily? Because we're only, you know, you guys are smart ones. I'm just a generic notes guy, you know?
I think it's kind of a loaded question. I don't think really IBM wants the answer because... I've been having both in the blogosphere, but also face-to-face with IBMers over the last couple of years from, I think, even before they launched Hanover. I really can't understand why IBM haven't been pushing the Java language harder. Whenever they set out to build the Notes client on a Java platform, they must have known that this would come up. So I think... It goes to the level of adoption of Java within the Node community. And it, in my mind, and I know that IBM have the mantra of break nothing and all the kind of stuff, but IBM really have to start pushing Java harder, because if they don't, there's a lot of people who will never realize how powerful platform this actually is, because they simply do not have the skills for it. And I know that IBM will hate to hear this, but I think deep down they know. So I think the question is, it really is, how much Java do you need to know to be proficient in developing for this platform? Because if I ask you how much Java you know, you probably know enough. You know some of the syntax. You probably know enough to take a LotusScript agent, a procedural LotusScript agent, and turn it into a procedural Java agent, but you really haven't gone beyond that. You really haven't stood back and asked yourself, what does it mean that Java is a object-oriented language? I think IBM needs to think long and hard about how to bring Java to the masses. Before that happens, I think the full potential of the platform won't be realized.
I guess not to go on with this issue, but I guess wasn't that partly on purpose to attract, you know, a whole another class of developers that may not know or use, you know, the Notes platform?
Well, of course, you could speculate that what IBM really wanted to do was to bring in a whole new set of developers, Eclipse developers, Java developers. But I really don't see how not catering or not making sure that the developers of the install base knew this language would hinder new developers from coming on board. But I think the question is not it's not that difficult. You can basically ask yourself, why are you not doing more Java work? And until you can answer that question, I think the real answer lies in that question, because you probably haven't felt that IBM has been serious enough. You don't feel like it's important enough for you as a developer. I think IBM really needs to own up to they need to own up and then figure out how they want to approach this and fix it.
Yeah, I'm on the that two-lane highway. I'm on the Notes path, not the Java path. But
yeah, well, it's interesting right now because at the moment, for sidebar apps in Notes 8.01, you have two very different ways of doing it. You have widgets, which are unbelievably simple and truly require no code. In fact, you couldn't put code in a widget if you wanted to, for the most part. You're just kind of dragging and dropping and accessing web pages or Google gadgets or doing live text or something like that. You know, kind of the most complicated thing that you do with a widget is a regular expression, if you want. And then on the other hand, we have this full-blown sidebar development, which Mikkel, who knows what he's doing and has done this before, took him 10 to 12 hours to come up with the sidebar widget for Twitter. And it seems like there almost needs to be something in between to attract the people who aren't comfortable with Java but need to learn this stuff.
Bingo.
Where we have some kind of framework which allows people that don't necessarily have a deep level of knowledge in Java and of Eclipse RCP and things like that to be able to go and I guess start doing this stuff. Now, I don't think you'll ever be able to get someone who is just truly a novice Java developer and turn them into a sidebar developer, especially just with a couple of button clicks and lines of code and things like that. But it almost seems like if we had some halfway point that might help.
I totally agree, but I think it's going to I'm sorry to say, I think it's going to take a long time, but I totally agree. There are some things about the Notes API that's just too difficult for the novice programmer to handle, all with threading and stuff like that. And until that's solved, which I'm confident will be solved, I think it's going to be a long and rugged road, but hopefully it will be coming.
Hey guys, by the way, I just received a direct Twitter message from Christian DeLosio, which says, "Hi Bruce, my compliments to Leckham for his Twit Notes work." So I thought I'd pass that on during our show here. And Christian, sorry for mangling your name, but it just came up, and I just wanted to put it on the air here.
Which also, for anyone who never got that, Leckham is Mikkel backwards. So,
yeah, and Mikkel's Twitter name would be at Leckham, at the @ LEKKIM. So, Mikkel, you know, thanks for taking the time, you know, late on Sunday night to talk to us. Is it Monday yet there?
No, it won't be for half an hour, but we're getting there close. We're closing. Yeah.
I think what you've done is an exemplary example of, you know, the capabilities that exist in Notes 8.01, et cetera. And I wish I was able to develop, you know, a sidebar plugin. I'll leave that to you and Julian, though.
Okay, thank you very much. I just want to close off with one of the reasons that I really hope that we can open source this is that just out of the top of my head, I think I'm using, well, 5 or 10 different techniques that would be beneficial to every sidebar plugin out there. And that's one of the reasons I started doing it. But it would that's one of the reasons it would make a great demo application. So hopefully I can open source it, and hopefully the Lotusphere committee will take my abstract, and I can go and show everyone how I did it come January. But we'll just have to wait and see.
You start pimping your session now because it's going to be packed.
Exactly. Well, I didn't get to speak this year, so I really I need all the luck I can get.
All right. Well, we'll do a petition for you next year.
We'll do it on Twitter.
There you go.
Yeah.
A twittition.
I'll just crash one of your sessions.
There you go. We'll just let you on stage, give you the microphone.
Yeah.
You know, I started twittering, by the way, on June 18th. Mikkel asked me prior to hitting the record button, and it was June 18th, 2007 when I started. So,
oh, you're long. I think I started January 20th or something like that. I think I actually signed up from the Lotusphere Wi-Fi. So I think, I just signed up for that. I didn't really know what it was at that point, but I think you really have to let it get under your skin, and once you realize it, it will actually be quite a good tool. And I think Alan Lepofsky said it very nicely the other day on Twitter, actually, when he said that Twitter had already helped him twice that day do his job better. And that just shows you the power of the tool.
Wow. Well, I guess I need to start Twittering more. I think I signed up back in December and just have not done anything with Twitter so far other than follow a few tweets. I need to see, this will make me start going then. I'll install the sidebar plugin. Every time I open the Notes 8 client, everything will be there. I'll get to follow the soap opera.
You know, Facebook is so like 2007 now, isn't it?
Oh boy, yeah. It's that's like 7 years ago in internet time.
Exactly. But Twitter is I think Twitter's a lot different than Facebook, and we'll see how it morphs and develops. You know, I think people like Adam Gartenberg are, you know, asking the questions about like how persistent chat rooms and so forth, you know, compare to things like Twitter. So all right, let's wrap up 81. So again, Mikkel, thanks for joining Julian and myself.
You're welcome.
And Julian, it's always a pleasure, as I always say on every podcast, to hear your voice. We don't get to do this as often as we used to or like, but we do it when we can and when we have industry stars like Mikkel. So,
heck yeah.
The only thing maybe I want to add is how to install it. Just that might be a good idea to just briefly mention.
Before.
So people should just point their browser to likimworld.com/twitnotes. That likimworld.com/twitnotes. And there are instructions on how to install and upgrade, and there's a screenshot and brief introduction to some of the more technical things about the application on extension points and all that kind of stuff. But please install it, and if you have any comments, let me know via the blog or via email or via Twitter, and then let the comments come.
Yeah, and anyone who just drove off the road trying to write that down, we will have the link on the podcast notes, and so you can also go from there when you get to work.
Excellent. All right, everyone, thanks again for tuning in to episode 81 for Sunday, April 6, 2008. We'll catch you all real soon. Peace out.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Elguji Software, the makers of IdeaJam. Learn how you can purchase your very own copy of IdeaJam for your organization at elguji.com. That's ELGUJI.com.